bitch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Yo, Dre, you've been doing all this dope producing. You had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Oh, hey, Kevin. Hey, Beans. I have such an itchy scrotum. Oh, itches so bad.
Oh, come on!
I'm embarrassed for this generation.
That's that porno mag that drug addict bought for you when you was 14 that was in that package, and you figured out how to pay that drug dealer before there was the internet to buy you, and you open up that, and you know you're gonna make 5 of them girls your girlfriend all weekend.
Are you forgetting what Tecumseh said? Hey,
I had forgotten that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's because Jesus Christ is my...
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
He's down on the phone.
Roll another one.
What's wrong with you?
Just like the other one.
He's not so much with the talking.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Ah, damn it.
Roll.
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 What's this all about?
I'm Larry Flint. I approve this message.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
And the Lord said, let there be crap.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 17th of January. So, about 5 minutes ago, under Universal City, there was a 2.6 earthquake. 20 years to the day of the Northridge earthquake, January 17th, 1994. A little bit of a reminder there. How curious is that?
Yeah, it does sound like end times.
It's the Illuminati, man.
Could be, man. You guys know how terrible my memory is. I remember a few things about that morning 20 years ago. How about you guys?
I remember a lot.
I remember a lot, too, yeah.
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 I remember climbing 20 flights of stairs to get to work as the elevators weren't working.
Now, Lisa, you were on our show, but it was before you were in studio with us, right?
Yeah, we had a building off the 110 and Wilshire Boulevard. So we're on the 20th floor, and we had two phones that worked.
Sweet.
And so we were taking turns calling in information.
I felt like
That was not a fun day for traffic, by the way.
Oh, no. I mean, because nobody knew when... Like, I remember jumping in my car and driving to my sister's.
Right.
To see if she was okay. So I went up the 170. I had no idea that freeways had separated.
Yeah.
And people could drive off the edges. I mean, that was terrifying when you find out what happened.
Where were you at the time? What was it? Around 4:31, I guess? You were up and getting ready for work, I imagine?
I was in my apartment getting ready for work.
Were you naked?
Married at the time. My husband
was
naked? In London.
Were you
already
dressed?
I was already dressed.
Damn it. Okay.
And I remember I was between the two closets trying to get shoes and then just hanging on and going, oh, God, make it stop, make it stop.
Same thing she says in sex.
Exactly.
How many times did her husband hear those words?
And the garage wouldn't open. And people were standing out in the halls and none of the phones worked. And I had a car phone at the time. And I called my parents.
Fancy.
Yeah. I called my parents in Orange County and they didn't feel a thing.
Yeah.
they're sound asleep. I was like, the world is ending and you didn't feel anything. And someone finally cranked it open, that gate, so we could get out. And so first thing I did was drive up to my sister's apartment and stand outside and scream because the intercom didn't work. And, of course, she didn't hear me. So
that,
then
was
I just,
that was a frustrating few minutes there, wasn't it?
It was. And then I drove all the way downtown.
How about you, the monkey?
I was still at home in bed.
Although I should, were you naked?
Although I should have been up. Yeah, I was, as a matter of fact. You know what I remember? I remember getting in my car and starting to drive to work, and I got to an intersection where there had been a water main broke or something, mm-hmm. and there was also mm-hmm. a fire. So to my left, the water was hitting my car, I don't know, like halfway down my car door.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see, like, the street was a river of water coming, but at the beginning of where the water was coming from, there was a giant fire.
Holy crap!
And I thought, the world is literally ending right now.
It did look like
something out of a movie, right?
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
I just wanted to sit there and look at it, and then I realized, you know, I'm going to get swept away with this water. Maybe I should keep moving.
Where were you living at the time?
Chatsworth, right up near Northridge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you didn't have any problem getting into work either?
No.
In terms of roads or anything like that?
No, it was all the lights were out. And so it was, you know, it was...
Quick drive.
you took whatever supplies you could get. You just beat up old people and took their bread.
got yourself a TV, if I recall.
That's my memory of it. That's all I got.
It is weird that we all made it into work that day,
yeah.
considering the earthquake happened less than an hour from when we went on the air at 5:30. And did we get knocked off the air? Do you remember, Kevin? Did we have some sort of problem with the station being knocked off the air?
I don't remember that. I remember thinking we should have gotten a medal for our coverage, though. I mean, I think we really handled it well.
Remember, this was pre-internet, so it was a lot of obviously what you could get on TV and news radio.
Right.
And people calling in. I guess we had people calling in that morning telling us where they were and what they saw and what was going on.
Sir, what did you feel? It was rolling. How about you, ma'am?
It was rolling. I was living in Canyon Country at the time. It's remarkable when you consider that, remember the freeway that Lisa was talking about, the 14 that collapsed. It's remarkable that the earthquake happened at 4:30 and I went by there and they already had that road closed off and had a detour set up that I could use to get down into the San Fernando Valley, you know, 20 minutes later.
Wow. So close, you know?
How dare you?
So close.
We still liked him then.
Oh, okay.
We would have been sad.
I did. This was before I had any dogs, by the way. I just had piglets back then. That was when Ham Sandwich and Daisy were still around.
Yeah.
And Ham Sandwich just freaked the F out. Man, was he scared by that earthquake. I mean, it blew his mind.
Well, I can
and
imagine.
He was just cry. So we ate him. But I mean,
good.
It was,
look, it's every man for himself at that point.
Muggs, how old were you at the time?
Believe it or not, I was 10 years old.
Okay.
Any memory of the quake at all?
I don't know why we would believe it or not.
Actually, I would have died that night if I had not moved.
So close!
I know.
I would have died so close!
If I had not moved from the top bunk of my bunk bed to the bottom that night. Now, I did it. I started sleeping on the top. I was like, nah, you know what? I better sleep on the bottom if I have to go pee. And I woke up after the earthquake. A 100-pound bookshelf fell right on that pillow.
Really?
On the top bunk.
Oh, that is such a bummer.
There is no God then, right?
That is such a bummer.
There is a God. What are you talking about?
Sounds to me like he was asleep at the switch that night. I'll tell you that.
Sounds to me like Muggs moved to the bottom because he already peed the top. He just put like 7 beds in his room and he just kept changing.
Well, it was 20 years ago today, 6.7 earthquake. By the way, it's the second costliest disaster in United States history after Hurricane Katrina.
No kidding.
57 people were killed, thousands injured, 112,000 structures damaged, $20 billion in property losses, more than 20,000 people displaced from their homes. But as we round out this segment, this commemoration of the 20th anniversary, I'll leave you with this, which is that the big one has still not happened. That certainly wasn't the big one. The San Andreas Fault, deemed the master fault of an intricate fault network, is now due for a once every 150 years quake. The last big quake on the southern San Andreas Fault occurred in 1857.
Hey, Dr. Droom, take it down a notch.
I'm just
saying.
I'm just saying.
Right. I'm just saying, take it down a notch.
So happy earthquake anniversary, everybody.
Thank you.
By the way, there was a car chase by my house this morning. I heard the helicopters while I was in the shower, and I hurried up so that I could get my car because it was on the 101 right outside my house.
Yes. Yeah.
And they needed my help badly.
Well,
that's
did
the
you help
way
them?
I felt.
That dude was going 10 miles an hour on just his rims, by the way.
Doing circles on the freeway.
Doing yep. circles. Couldn't control the car.
Yeah. On the freeway that I take on the way in.
Yes.
It was closed just
Which
past closed. The 405. And I was so bummed because I felt like they needed my help, but I had to come to work.
Oh, and sorry, Kevin.
I watched Steven Seagal Lawman. I know what to do.
You know how to handle a situation.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? Hey, Kevin. That's an odd thing to have. Hey, Kevin. Cousin Sal will be here talking about his NFL picks for the weekend. Very important right. football weekend.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Now, are both games Sunday?
I don't know. I want to say yes.
That sounds right to me, but I just think, because last weekend they split them up. I'm just wondering what they were doing, because I'm making my weekend plans.
On the air, both?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic.
Kevin Smith, writer, director, actor, comedian, pot smoker, will be in the studio today. Hey, Kevin. Same for him, yeah. We have Billy Campbell on the show today talking about the new sci-fi series Helix, which is awesome. Teemu Selanne from the Ducks talking about the Dodger Stadium game.
That guy's like 50 or something now, right?
I think he's 67.
He wow. has been. It's unbelievable that a man can play hockey the way he plays hockey at his age
yeah,
for as
well,
long as he's been doing it.
It's crazy. Movie beat because it's Friday, and we have Ice Cube on the program today.
Wow.
We have a big show. Bean's Death Corner. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. See, we just play songs like that with irony.
Boom.
But act like it's real.
See?
Kryptonite. What are we listening to? What do we hear?
Kryptonite.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
You yeah. bet.
Three Doors Down?
Right.
Tuba History, baby.
Okay.
The Tuba right. History Morning Show.
And we're supposed to laugh or cry as we hear that?
No, it's done ironic.
Press on.
We're
press on.
We're trying to be funny.
So we're hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Oh, man. It's just bad news in TV land.
Uh-oh.
Just losing star after star of some of our favorite, most legendary sitcoms. Russell Johnson, better known as the Professor on Gilligan's Island, passed away yesterday. He's Kevin's buddy.
He was.
Kevin and him used to cruise around together.
No, I picked him up at the airport one time.
Yeah, and then you cruised around
together.
Then we
cruised for a while. Then when I tried to sell the car, I tried to sell it as the Professor Mobile. Didn't
sure.
help. Did not help.
Car that rode the Professor.
Mm-hmm.
He was 89 years old, died of his natural causes at his home in Washington. Dawn Wells, who played Marianne on the show, posted on Facebook, "My two favorite people are now gone. The Professor passed away this morning. My heart is broken." No word on who the other one is.
Could it have been Gilligan?
I don't know. That's the last male member of the cast still alive. Just Ginger and Marianne, the only ones left. Sad.
Yeah.
Are you guys a Ginger or Marianne? Did we have this conversation? You were a Ginger or Marianne guy.
I was a Marianne guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I was all about Ginger back in the day.
I can see that, too.
Yeah, she was sexy. There will be a TV Land Gilligan Marathon running all day, apparently, so you can check that out. You know the professor's real name on the show, remember?
No.
Roy Hinckley.
Really?
Yeah, huh. Professor Roy Hinckley. And then Dave Madden, who played the manager of the Partridge Family, Reuben Kincaid.
He died?
On that show in the 70s. He passed away yesterday as well. Passed away of congestive heart failure and kidney failure.
Oh.
82 years old. So we're losing our sitcom stars. The good news is, sorry, there is no good news. All bad news. Interesting, a lot of celebrities going to Broadway. Harry Potter's Daniel Radcliffe has announced he'll be back on Broadway later this year in a show called The Cripple of Inishmon, which did very well in the London's West End. And then Chloe Grace Moretz is going to be in New York doing theater for the first time.
All right.
Doing a play called The Library, the public theater, directed by Steven Soderbergh.
Wow.
So that should be pretty cool. And in television news, looks like we're going to get some spinoffs of some of your favorite shows. There's a Veronica Mars web-based spinoff that they announced yesterday. It's basically going to be a comedy featuring Ryan Hansen attempting to put together a Dick Casablancas spin-off movie of Veronica Mars. So that could be funny if you're a fan. That'll be on the web. 8 10-minute episodes will debut online after the Veronica Mars feature film hits theaters in mid-March. And Showtime yesterday talked about their new series they have coming up. They have a new Philip Seymour Hoffman series.
Awesome. What is it?
It's a drama where he plays an advertising guy whose agency gets taken over, and he's forced to look for a new challenge with his life. And there's another new show called The Affair, which is an intense exploration of two married couples who go through, as you can imagine, infidelity. Dominic West, Ruth Wilson, Maura Tierney, and Joshua Jackson all star. Gotta see Joshua Jackson back on television. My buddy from S.H.I.E.L.D., from Fringe. And then in American Idol news, it's good news, boys and girls. The premiere of American Idol was down 22%.
All right.
Its debut this week. That's the good news. Now, there's still 15.2 million people watching.
Which is still crazy big.
Right. So
it's not like
still,
it was.
By far, the night's most viewed show. But it has been decreasing each and every season. And
at this rate,
at
it'll
some
be
point,
canceled
about
by
30 years from now.
Yep.
We're going to say goodbye to American Idol. So we'll have that to look forward to.
I didn't tune in, Ralph, but I have seen great reviews for Harry Connick Jr. as a judge on that show. People seem to like him very much.
I haven't seen any of it either, but I can imagine that. He's pretty personable.
Very likable guy, yeah.
Hey, remember Highway to Heaven?
No.
Michael Landon, he was an angel, and he traveled around these great country of ours helping people
with
their
problems. I think somehow that missed me.
Highway to Heaven!
Yeah.
Huge hit, Highway to Heaven.
You can say it higher in pitch. It doesn't...
Highway to Heaven!
Doesn't mean I... No.
Michael Landon, the angel!
All right.
Well, what's the story?
Suck.
It was on for a number of years, Kevin.
Like 10 years.
Yeah, it was a big hit for a long time.
All right.
I'm sure you've heard of it.
Look.
No, you look.
What am I supposed to do here?
Say, oh, yes,
okay.
I remember that show.
Oh, yes, I remember that show.
Everyone has seen at least a couple,
episodes of that show.
Anyway, they're going to reboot it. Mark Wahlberg, apparently, is going to produce it, and they're going to bring it back.
Thank God, I loved it.
No word on whether Michael Landon will star or not. I'm guessing probably not. Though he was an angel.
He's dead, right?
Yeah, he's, okay, he's quite dead.
He's in heaven, though, so it seems like he should be able to do this job.
I was in the series finale of that show.
You were?
It was one of my first acting gigs.
No kidding.
Yeah. He was a very nice guy, that Michael Landon. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Betty White is 92 years old today. Talk show host Maury Povich is 75. Steve Harvey is 57. Susanna Hoffs of the Bangles, she's 55. She's a pretty great-looking 55, by the way.
Sure.
Actor Jim Carrey's 52. First Lady Michelle Obama is 50 years old. Actor Naveen Andrews, of course, from Lost, and now that Once Upon a Time, 45 years old today. DJ Tiesto is 45. Kid Rock's 43. Freddie Rodriguez, remember him from 6 Feet Under?
Sure.
39 years old. Zooey Deschanel celebrates her 34th birthday today. Singer Ray J is 33. We'll play a little clip from the Kim Kardashian Ray J porn movie later on in the hour just to celebrate. And that's it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
For reals, Ralph? That's coming up. We're talking to Adam West.
For reals. We're going to do a little movie beat here. And then when we come back, we'll be talking to TV's Batman about the big news that they're finally going to release the series in its entirety on DVD and Blu-ray this year.
My nipples are so hard.
And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think he's talked to anybody else about this yet. So this may be very exciting. A scoop.
Very exciting. All right. Mr. West on the way. First, though, Ralph has the movie beat because it's Friday.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Interesting batch of films in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Something for everyone. I know I often say that, but in this case, it's really true. First of all, for the kids, we have The Nut Job.
The Nut Job?
He's a nutty squirrel. He's surly. He's a curmudgeon, this squirrel. He plays by his own rules.
Does it look good?
He's an outlaw squirrel.
What, does he have a cop partner that does?
I don't know. It's about a squirrel who likes nuts.
Okay.
Will Arnett, Katherine Heigl, Brendan Fraser, and Liam Neeson all lend their voices to this project. Here are some clips from the trailer for Nut Job.
We get a crew. We break in. And to do it my way. Let's go over the plan. That's us. There's the nut shop. We rob the nut shop and then stuff ourselves silly all winter.
Shut the front door!
We're talking almonds, pistachios, walnuts, and did I mention the peanut brittle?
Is that a candy or a nut?
Both.
Yeah.
They're nutty squirrels.
Just trying to steal a nut.
Nuts.
So all you nut fans out there, you will enjoy this film.
Lisa, there's a lot of nuts going.
Nut fans out there?
I've already been three times. Are you kidding?
Ride Along opens up this weekend. Ice Cube, Kevin Hart. Is anybody hotter than Kevin Hart is right now? He's in every movie
I don't think
that comes out. He's just in Grudge Match. He's got this coming out. He's got the About Last Night coming out.
He's hilarious, by the way.
He is hilarious, and I had the great pleasure to sit next to him in a flight from L.A. to Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
Not too long ago in November, and could not be a sweeter, nicer guy. Really enjoyed it. He plays a security guard in this film who's in love with a young lady whose brother happens to be a cop, played by Ice Cube. And so in order to prove himself worthy of marrying Ice Cube's sister, he's got to go along on a ride-along with his future brother-in-law, and chaos ensues. They decide to rob a nut shop.
Nope.
And they go, and,
what?
Nope, I think that was the last.
I thought the theme today was nut jobs.
I don't think it is.
Here's Kevin Hart, who is not a big guy. Funny guy.
Yeah.
Not a tall guy.
Right.
Getting punked by a kid from the movie Ride Along.
Man, you're not a cop.
I'm about to make a citizen's arrest.
I make a citizen's arrest, too. For what? Impersonating the officer? That's illegal.
That is it, fool. This is what I'm going to do time for. You better give up your brother. Give me your brother.
Stranger danger.
What? Man, let me fix you up.
I don't want to touch you there. You want to see my what? I don't want to see
he's,
yours.
He's my playing.
My mother says this private.
That's my nephew.
Yeah, he's trying to touch all the boys. What? Get him.
Stranger danger. This movie looks funny. Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
That's my movie.
It's Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
One of my movies.
Yeah, if you're looking for action this weekend, this seems to be right up your alley. Kenneth Branagh directed this.
Really?
Yes. Who's becoming quite the blockbuster director in the wake of Thor, which was his first film of that kind. Chris Pine is rebooting the character of Jack Ryan. This is a character you've known before from Hunt for Red October and Clear and Present Danger. However, this is the beginnings. This is the reboot. So the beginnings of Jack Ryan's career as a CIA analyst. Kevin Costner also stars as his mentor, Keira Knightley, is in the film. And Sir Kenneth Branagh appears as well as directs. In this film, Jack Ryan uncovers a Russian plot to crash the U.S. economy.
Mission successful.
Here's a scene where Kevin Costner, as Jack Ryan's mentor and handler, tells him that he is fully operational as an agent.
You stick to the scheduled audit tomorrow. Everything official, everything in public. You'll be fine. I need for you to be fine. You know, you sold this as an office job. You're not just an analyst anymore. You're operational now.
Yeah! What's to be the loudest movie of the weekend, Kevin?
I think
you'll enjoy it. And lastly, Devil's Due.
This looks good, too.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. We don't need any more found footage, sort of home video camera shot horror movies about demons and devils.
This baby is the devil.
At what point, if this, we're supposed to believe this, at what point does the father put the camera down when his mother's pregnant with Satan's baby? At what time does he say, feats, don't fail me now, and just runs out of that house because they seem to have documented everything as if it's just a perfectly normal pregnancy, despite the fact she's clawing pentagrams into their hardwood floors with her fingernails. Come on! At some point you stop documenting and start running.
You are all going to die tonight.
Yeah. After a mysterious lost night on their honeymoon, this newlywed couple finds himself dealing with an earlier-than-planned pregnancy, of course, because Satan is inside her!
I found these weird symbols.
In early Christianity, there were groups of dissenters who felt that they could use these symbols for summoning an antichrist.
You were born from death. They are waiting for you.
Whoa.
They've been waiting.
Just gotta go.
What?
No,
Sam.
Don't
touch us.
Actually, this was kind of fun.
Looks awesome.
If you're looking just for, you know, a scare fest,
yeah,
this looks like a good time. And my buddy Rob Belushi is in it from the Joe Schmo Show.
He played,
He played Alan, the friend to the Mark in this last most recent Joe Schmo. And he's a very talented, very funny guy, so I'm pulling for him, so I give him a hard time. But this looks fun. A lot of stuff to pick up from this weekend. As we get into Oscar season, now that all those big movies have been released towards the end of the year and we're getting closer to the actual ceremony itself in March, this is sort of like a no man's land where they start to put out some interesting, some smaller, some bigger films. You'll get a good mix in the beginning part of this year. I'm looking forward to it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Ice Cube joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got a brand new Bean's Death Corner for you next hour. And from the Anaheim Ducks, Timu Solani on the way. But first,
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West. Adam West, Adam West.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Isn't it lovely? Mr. West, good morning, sir.
And a little softer now. Poor guys.
Well, to say the least, Adam, you have been in the news this week with the huge announcement, the long-awaited announcement that Warner Brothers Home Entertainment is finally going to release the entire series of the Batman TV show on DVD and Blu-ray. This is a long time coming, and people are very excited about it, sir.
Well, that's interesting. I guess it's really a venerated showbiz tradition that the damn actor is the last to know.
Yeah.
Did you find out from Conan O'Brien like the rest of us?
Yes. That's why I wanted to talk to you guys, because, you know, we've had so much fun on the air over the years. I wanted you to know.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate you calling in. What do you know about the release?
Nothing.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
How do you suppose it happened that Conan O'Brien was the one to spread the word, Adam? What's the connection there, if you know?
Well, I think he probably works for Warner's. And but more than that, I think Conan loves me.
He does. Well, everyone loves you.
He has been a longtime fan. Of course, you guys did Look Well together, one of the most famous pilots in television history, one of the greatest shows.
But he said that he could tell it was me because he put his nose in the Batmobile and smelled the seat.
He did tweet that. Seat smelled like Adam West.
That is not what you want.
You know, the fans have been asking you for...
Wait, guys, please. I want to tell him one thing.
Yeah. All right.
If he's listening, and he probably is... Keep your nose out of my seat, Conan.
Yeah, that's fair.
The fans have been asking you this question now for 40 years. When are we going to see Batman on DVD and Blu-ray? So this has to be a relief for you guys, too. You know, I can stop talking about it.
It really is, because my mail, everything, you know, people want to know. And thank goodness, you know, the fans have been wonderful. But... now I can stop saying, I don't know.
Do you think, Adam, that the resurgence of the Batman character in the movies and in a different direction from your take in the old TV show is part of why there was not much incentive for them to release it on DVD, because they felt it was a mixed message as to where the character was at in the 21st century?
How clever you are.
You don't know, do you?
Yes.
I think that just proves that there is room for all interpretations of the character. And this has been a great year for the classic Batman because of all the merchandise that's come out with Mattel and all the other stuff that we've seen. I think that it's a perfect time for this release.
You're right. And, you know, the thing about Batman is the longevity. Batman can live in any universe at any time. And if it's done cleverly and well, it will be accepted and it'll be interesting.
But I think it is a credit to your show and the work that you and those guys did, Adam, that people have been so anxious to see this because the show really holds up and people want to watch it today as much as they did then.
And yet some of the critics keep saying, oh, it just can't be in it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying, but the producers in studio, they were telling me that it was tongue-in-cheek and great satire. Who do I believe?
Yeah.
Believe the guys who are writing you the check.
It's also shocking to consider now how things have changed. We're now, if a series stays on the air for 100 episodes, it's almost a miracle, and it doesn't happen all that often. You guys pumped out 120 episodes of the Batman TV series in a little over 2 years. I mean, that's an incredible pace.
I'm tired, guys.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
See that?
No, it was a lot of work, of course. But, you know, I'm not complaining. They paid me well, and I enjoyed the absurd aspects of it and the comedy. And I'm just very grateful that I did it because people have been so receptive for so long, and you guys have been wonderful there.
Well, as you know, Ralph has his giant room, Oh, Batman. I think you've been to his house. You've seen it. It's probably scared you to death.
He is so sick.
I have another friend who I talked to yesterday who said, I didn't know Ralph was a fan of 1966 Batman. I said, yeah, he's crazy. He's got a full room of stuff. And my other friend said, so do I. And I was like, what the hell? How many people do I know that have rooms dedicated to Adam West and 1966 Batman?
You know, it's really gratifying in a way because they're all competing with Ralph.
Yes, they are. Hey, listen, Adam, I know you don't know much, but are there any plans for a commentary track from you and Burt Ward or anything like that? Have they talked about any of that yet?
That's what they're discussing.
I got you. But you know what? If people want to hear your take on the series, there's always your DVD as well, Adam West Naked.
Yes, thank you. You can get that at adamwest.com.
Yeah, Adam West goes through every episode and tells you stories about the show.
It's kidding.
And you get to see his basement, too, which is a little bit of a treat.
That's right.
The first time.
You can follow Mr. West on Twitter, and you should, at The Real Adam West. Do you have any idea if you had to put a month of the year on this home release, Adam? Have you even heard that much?
No.
You are the last to note. You truly are.
It's showbiz tradition.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. The people have been waiting so long for this news, and the whole Bat community was very excited this week. And people who love classic television, just period, are looking forward to the release, and I'm sure we'll be talking more about it as we get closer. But we really appreciate you talking with us this morning about it.
It's my pleasure, guys. You know that.
All right. Thank you, Adam. We love you, man.
Okay, thanks.
And now, a moment with Bean.
He's skating for America, but I think he's literally the first American ice skater of all the ice skaters who have skated for with Cuban blood. I think he's never...
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow.
There is that moment of desperation when you just realize no matter how long you go on, you're not going to get back to where you wanted to be.
Wow.
So I know it's early. 2014 is brand new. But if the season ended today, would I be the undefeated champion of the world?
You would have the belt, I think.
I think you would.
Okay, Kevin has sheer volume.
Yes.
But in terms of quality, that's you see, you're a sniper, and Kevin has a shotgun.
I have a shotgun.
Yeah, but that was really impressive.
Hey, Ice Cube, the mother effing Cube, joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, we're talking about the Cube, who, of course, successful in music and movies. I was stunned with this music business news that sales for vinyl albums, boys and girls, there used to be a day, boys and girls, where Uncle Ralph would buy a large cardboard sleeve. It must have been, a foot wide and a foot high. Just a big square cardboard sleeve. And inside of it would be a pressed piece of black vinyl, and you would take that and put it on a rotating table, a turntable they used to call
it. You are telling stories.
And you would put a needle, a mechanical device would go into the groove of the vinyl, and then music would somehow magically come out of the speakers just by simply doing it.
Sounds like a lot of work.
You're talking about 100 years in the future?
Digitally.
No, it's 100 years in the past, but apparently it's hip again.
Sure.
And vinyl sales are way up. I think you'll be stunned. How many albums do you think were sold in 2013?
Total of all artists?
Vinyl albums total. How much product was moved, vinyl?
A million?
6 million albums were sold last year.
Wow.
It's way up, and it's six times the amount that was sold in 2007. And back in 1993, in the heyday of the dawn of the CD age, only 500,000 albums were sold.
Really?
Only 500,000 vinyl. But now it's coming back. People are buying turntables. They're buying everything they can get their hands on in terms of vinyl. And they say the sound of vinyl now, today, is the best any record has ever sounded.
Why is it better than a CD now?
Here's the thing.
Okay.
They're pressed now, these days, on a higher stock of vinyl.
Oh.
Apparently, like in the 70s and 80s, they were being so mass-produced, they would use a crappy level of quality of vinyl. But now
this is a trash can lid or something.
That's right. Vinyl is so good now, and the remastering techniques that are at their disposal make analog sound amazing. And they say this, if you're a music fan, you can't get better these days than vinyl.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy that the technology has flipped back to where the best sound you can get is back on vinyl?
That is crazy.
Anyway, I just thought that was fascinating. Albums are going for $20 to $30, by the way, these days.
6 million of them.
6 million of them.
Wow.
So the music industry is dying, but vinyl sales are way up. Go figure. You know what that means for movies? Next thing you know, flip books will be very popular. People are going to stop going to movie theaters and just start buying those flip books. I love Dexter. Loved it. Miss it.
Great series.
Showtime says there could be a spinoff.
A spinoff?
They won't give us any more details than that. But
would that be Deb?
They're in talks for a spinoff from someone from the series to spin off into their own show.
I don't recall that it ended well for Deb.
I don't
Kevin.
Think Deb will be back.
It seems unlikely that she'll be in the spinoff.
I don't would think it, she will get her own show.
Would it be Yvonne Strahovski?
Raising Dexter's kid on her own?
I don't know.
This is all the information I have and all the information they're giving. But
I really need to kill somebody.
There is talk for a spin-off series. President of Showtime said at the Television Critics Association press tour yesterday that he would. There's talks. He would be up for it, and he would like Michael C. Hall to be involved in some capacity. You know, obviously he wouldn't go back to star in another show, but maybe a guest starring producer, who knows? So there's
maybe,
no,
let's, maybe it's his son.
Let's get Adam West back on the phone. He seems to know everything about all new releases.
It must suck to be the face of a franchise and they really don't give you any details about what's happening.
What's going to be on it?
I don't
know. He just
what are the extras? Did he really find out about it on Twitter from Conan O'Brien?
I think he heard the word came down this week before Conan tweeted about it. But they gave him the heads up that they were going to announce this week. But other than that, he really did not get any information.
Wow, that's crazy.
I sure hope they do some commentary tracks. I think that because they did it for the movie, the 1966 movie that's been on DVD now for years. He and Bert did a commentary track. It's very entertaining. So I hope they do some for the episodes.
Why did it take so long? Again, sorry to.
I didn't want to get into it with Adam because it's a long, boring legal story, and we didn't want to waste his time. But apparently, the problem was Warner Brothers owns DC Comics,
right.
Owns the character of Batman. Then you have 20th Century Fox, the television production arm of 20th Century Fox. They released the series. They own the rights to the series.
Okay.
Then you have Greenway Productions, which was the independent producer who produced the show for 20th Century Fox.
Okay.
They've got a stake in it as well. So in terms of rights and how you cut up the pie of who gets what money and who's entitled to the lion's share, the legal... The battle over the dollar for all these years has been a big part of it. Also,
it's crazy.
The deals in the 60s weren't the same as they are now in terms of ancillary rights and going to DVD and further showings. They didn't think these shows were going to last that long.
Right.
So you have to cut a separate deal with the estate of the guy who did all the music for the show because he owns the rights to the music. The rights to the Batmobile were George Barris's. They had to work out that problem. All the guest stars, whoever appeared on the show, they need to get their residual taste of their
dozens
appearances
of them
on the
too.
Show. Dozens of them. So it was a lot of legal wrangling for a long, long time. And they say it's because of this breakthrough where Warner's now has got on board with 20th Century Fox and they're doing this re-release of all this new merchandise. They've sort of finally gotten together on that. That's what paved the way for them to do the DVD. So a lot of legal wrangling. But it is famously like the most popular TV show to have never been on any sort of home.
But what about
before.
The guy that put Pow and Bop?
You gotta pay
on the
him
screen.
Too. You gotta pay Pow and Bop. That's their legal team, actually. Pow, Bop, and Zowie, I think. Over there in Century City, they do good work. Today's celebrity birthdays: Betty White, she's 92 years old today. Maury Povich is 75. Steve Harvey, 57 years old. He still have a talk show? He's got a talk show.
He right? does. Yeah. He does.
Susanna Hoffs of the Bangles. Boy, I loved the Bangles back in the day. Good band. 55 years old. Jim Carrey, 52. Michelle Obama, 50. Naveen Andrews of Lost Fame, 45 years old. DJ Tiesto, 45 as well. Kid Rock's 43. And Zooey Deschanel. You know her from New Girl, 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hit it, Steve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Straight out of Compton, it's a crazy brother named Ice Cube. From the stupid dope gang with an attitude. That beat, fool, it's a full-time jack move. Chili Chill, yo, homie, make the track move.
What can I tell her? What can I tell her? How you like me now? Today I didn't even have to use my AK. I gotta say it was a good day. You get no love and I thought you knew it. Fool, you know how we do it.
Bow down when I come to your town.
Bow down
when I'm west with bands.
Cause it's Friday.
Oh yeah, throw your neighborhood in the air. If you don't care, they call me the Don Dada. Pop a collar, drop a dollar. If you hear me, you can holler. Even Rockwaller.
Get your club on.
If it was just that, Ice Cube would already be a legend. But then you put him up on the big screen with the Friday movies, with the Barbershop movies, the Are We There Yet movies, the Jump Street movies, and this weekend back in theaters with a new very funny movie with Kevin Hart that is called Ride Along. Ice Cube back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Good morning, sir.
Yo, what's up with y'all? How y'all feeling?
We are good. We're doing great. We just we're looking forward to Ride Along. This Kevin Hart just kills me. The dude is the funniest guy working today, isn't he?
Hey, man, he's the funniest dude right now, man. I mean, he cracks me up, man, all the time. And he's naturally funny. He's like the class clown, you know, who's been given the stage. And this dude right here is a master of comedy. And this movie is funny, funny, funny.
Now, how did this come about? Are you the executive producer? Did you find the story? Did they attach him before you? How did it work?
Well, we had our, you know, I got a company called Q Vision, and we had our eye on this script for years, man, over 10 years, and we just didn't know who was going to be the guy, you know, who was going to play the guy opposite me in this movie, and we couldn't find nobody. It just didn't seem right, so we just shelved it, and then Will Packer, who produced Think Like a Man, and he produced Takers, Stomp the Yard. He had just worked with Tim Story, who had directed Barbershop with me, you know, back in the day. And then they got it to Kevin. We had a dream team. The rest is history.
That's right. What's it feel like for you, Ice Cube, to be in movies now for coming up on 25 years? I mean, that is you've had a crazy, crazy second life in this business, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, it's been very, you know, fun and humbling, and it's everything I've always wanted it to be. You know, I wanted to do these kind of movies, the movies that I love, that I grew up on, which were like Car Wash and Uptown Saturday Night, Let's Do It Again. You know, these are movies that Hollywood Shuffle, you know, just that really that touched me, you know, growing up, that I really enjoyed to watch a lot. So I always wanted to make those kind of movies, you know. We call them hood classics. you know, so that's what I've been wanting to try to make. And, you know, with Boys in the Hood, I was in a hood classic, so to speak. And now you got the Friday movies in 95. That movie right there, you know, being able to produce one and, you know, and just trying to keep, you know, doing movies that people can watch over and over again. You know, I try to do movies that you can see more than once.
What would early NWA Ice Cube think about this career? Would you have ever? I mean, everybody thinks, yeah, I love movies. I want to make them. Very few people do. And very, very few people are this successful.
I'd be impressed, you know what I mean? Cause when I would, you know, no doubt. I ain't just saying that because it's me. That's how I thought back then. You know, I was a big movie fan. I used to go to movies. You know, I seen movies like Saturday Night Fever like 8-9 times in the theater. You know, just I would go every weekend and see something different or see the same thing. It didn't matter. I just wanted to be at the movie. So I had always been a movie buff, a movie fan. So even when John Singleton approached me to be in Boys in the Hood, I was like, man, no. What are you talking about? Nah, I didn't want to do it because I didn't think I was qualified. I'm like, I ain't no actor.
Right.
Can't do what, you know, can't do what these big-time actors can do on the screen. So, but he, you know, he convinced me, yo, I got you. I'll make sure that it's right. I think, I know you can do it. And I'm just glad he believed in me, you know. But the young Ice Cube would be down with the old Ice Cube. It don't matter.
Is it? I know you still have a very active recording career. You got a new record, what, coming out this spring, I think, Ice Cube. Is it harder for you to find the kinds of energy and inspiration you need to make great rap music when you are, A, older, and B, so established and successful as an actor? It seems like those two voices would be coming from a different place in you.
No, you know, it's where I started. It's I'm a b-boy at heart. You know, if I wasn't doing any movies, I'd still be doing music. And it's where I can be the most creative, to be honest. You know, when you become a part of a movie, you just really become part of a big project. It's like building a house. You can't really do it on your own. You can only help, you know, with other people and get it done. So with a record, it's the freedom of doing what I want to do, saying what I want to say, creating what I want to create. So,
how much do you keep in touch with the current rap music? Do you follow a lot of what's still going on?
Yeah, you know, I'm still into it, you know, to a certain extent, because you know, once you in the business, you know, your fan mechanism kind of erodes a little bit. So,
right.
You know, some of these dudes, it's just competition. So, you know, I listen, but I don't want to be influenced by nobody. I just want to do records that I feel.
Talking to Ice Cube about Ride Along, and Kevin Hart is one of the stars. Tell us about working with Lawrence Fishburne, who seems like he's great in everything.
You know, he's a great inspiration for me. He helped me out so much in doing Boys in the Hood, because I've never went to any kind of school, or, you know, so I was kind of off balance maybe the first week, making sure that am I right? Is this looking right? Do I look like I'm in a movie? You know, all those kind of things was going through my head. And he told me, he was like, "Yo, man, do you know who Doughboy is?" I'm like, yeah. Hell, if I don't know anything, I know who Doughboy is. He said, "What the hell are you trying to act for?" He said, "What are you trying to act for, man? Why you acting? Go do Doughboy." And that's, you know, I'm like, okay. The Lawrence Fishburne School of Acting.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. In our remaining moments,
go do it.
This is the voice of Ice Cube here at the Kevin Meet Show. Again, the film is called Ride Along. It looks so funny. Kevin, we have a clip I think we can play with Ice talking to Kevin Hart, I think.
Hey, do you like goggles, earplugs, anything like that?
No, usually the bad guys don't give us time to put on all that kind of stuff.
Okay, right. That's actually a good point. It makes a lot of sense. And it's better to keep it real. I would rather this be real. You know what I mean?
Keep it real.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Freeze! How do you say freeze?
Freeze.
Freeze. Freeze. Freeze. Okay. You know what it is? You don't move your top lip that much. I move my top lip so it doesn't come out stern. You get what I'm saying?
Freeze.
Just shoot.
Shoot.
It's quite a conversation to be having during a gunfight.
Yeah. I mean, we actually had a gun range, and he's trying to show me he know how to handle weapons. And he going through the motions like he got a suspect. I'm like, man, shoot at damn paper target, man. Shoot.
One more question before we go, Ice Cube, and that is, talk us through how we should be feeling about the Lakers 2014. What's it been like for you? How have you been surviving watching what's going on the court every night?
You know, even though I knew it was coming, it's always hard to watch.
Yep.
You know, it's like, you know, you're going to the dentist, but it's always hard to get that root canal. You know, even though you know what's going to happen, you know, after you get it, you're going to feel better. It's still hard to go through it. That's where we are right now. We're getting a root canal. And what we need is our superstar back. That's what we need.
That'll help. You
know, nothing is going to happen good until Kobe comes back. And trust me, when he comes back, he's going to be ready to play. Don't worry about him. He's going to be ready to play. Then it's about who do we put around him. Who's going to stay? And then what pieces are we going to get? Right. And you can't really assess the Lakers until we get to that point.
Sure wish we could fast forward to that point now.
Boy, man, you ain't the only one. It is rough.
It is rough.
It is indeed. All right, go see Ride Along in theaters everywhere this weekend. Always a thrill to have Mr. Ice Cube on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for the time, sir. Have a great weekend.
Hey, man, I appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for the support. Go check out Ride Along, man. You ain't got nothing better to do this Martin Luther King weekend. You ain't going to do nothing but sit on your ass. Go see Ride Along. Don't do that.
We'll do that. Thank you.
The 2014 NHL Stadium Series is right around the corner. We're talking about Kings versus Ducks at Dodger Stadium on Saturday, January 25th. You can win tickets to that in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show as we talk to Tamu Solani from the Ducks. That's on the way. First, though, how about a brand new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around on the radio, it's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
I want to thank the Kevin and Bean listeners who look out for us. You know, every time they see a story of, you know, somebody dying on a party bus or something, they're likely to send it to you, Kevin. When they see any kind of crazy death, they send it to me, particularly when it happens with Florida. And I'm sure you guys all saw the story of a man being shot to death in a movie theater in Tampa, Florida this week because he was texting on his phone during the previews.
Yep.
This is an interesting case, by the way, because the guy who has been arrested as the shooter, Curtis Reeves, 71, is a former police officer. He also works security for Busch Gardens Theme Park down there in Florida. He was on the Neighborhood Crime Stoppers organization. He's carrying a gun in the theater, and he asked this guy who was texting with his three-year-old daughter during the previews ahead of a screening of Lone Survivor, hey, cut it out. And the guy said, I'm just texting with my daughter, and I'll cut it out when I'm finished. So the man, Curtis Reeves, gets up and goes to get the manager. Manager is busy. Manager doesn't come out right away. So Curtis Reeves goes back into the theater and says to the guy who's still texting with his daughter, hey, cut it out. Seriously, I'm tired of watching you text. So that guy throws popcorn at man with gun.
Yeah, good move.
Bad move. Man with gun, pulls out gun, shoots guy, kills guy. 43-year-old Chad Olson is now dead. It's curious. I've been following this case because Florida is the stand-your-ground state. That's the defense he's trying to use.
Interesting.
Now, somebody throwing popcorn at you at a movie theater doesn't seem to be the spirit of stand your ground, which isn't that supposed to be when somebody breaks into your house in the middle of the night
so. Yeah.
And you're supposed to be defending your family and your stuff.
That's not going
to anyway, that is a crazy story. And it's funny, when that the day that that happened, I happened to go to the movies and there was somebody in my theater texting during the previews. And I thought, don't do it.
Yeah.
bad move.
You know what I do is move.
That is an option. It's also the previews.
I think it's a better option than shooting someone.
Yeah. What is your policy during the previews? Do you accept a little more texting, a little more even talking
Absolutely.
During the previews until the movie begins?
A little, but I like previews.
I do too. Yeah.
So I'd rather it didn't happen, but yeah. I'm not carrying heat, so I'm all right, I think.
Here's a story sent to us by frequent Kevin Bean contributor Nick, who lives in Abilene, Texas. He is a podcast listener. He said this happened
to the podcast.
Yep, different Nick. This happened to a woman he doesn't know who lived just a few doors down from him. She was golfing. She was on a golf cart riding in the front passenger seat of the golf cart. By the way, this one makes me very sad because she's 23 and kind of hot. She's a passenger in a golf cart. The driver made a quick turn on a slope. She fell out of the cart and was killed when she was pierced in the chest with the glass beer bottle that she was holding in her hand.
Oh, my God.
How unbelievably random and unexpected is something like that to happen? You're 1 minute you're drinking a beer on a golf cart, having a great day. The next minute, you dead. Very sad about that, especially, as I say, since she was young and she was hot. So, you know, those are the last
kind
of people.
This segment is where sensitive Bean comes out to play.
Here's a dumbass death for Bean's Death Corner this week. I'm sure you saw this. Police in Chicago say that a Minnesota man was pronounced dead this week after attempting to retrieve his cell phone from the iced over waters of the Chicago River. He was an unidentified, to the news anyway, St. Paul man, 26 years old. He dropped his cell phone in the river while walking near the Riverwalk with two friends. Both of his friends, by the way, jumped into the river to try to save him.
This is a river. Buy a new phone.
This is a river, exactly. Oh. And it's in Chicago in January at midnight. That water is not going to be fun, right? Would you jump in after a friend that jumped in after a phone, or would you say, see you later, dumbass?
Oh, you mean to help save them?
To help save them,
depends
yeah.
Depends on the friend.
Yeah.
you got to think that through.
I won't ask if it was me.
Good choice.
The cell phone owner and another male, his friend, 23, were ultimately pulled out of the water by diver rescue teams. However, the 21-year-old female that was with the group remains missing and is presumed dead. Again.
Man.
Again, I don't want to see women in their 20s dying for any reason, particularly for dumb reasons going after. And get back up your phone and maybe cell phone insurance if you're the type of person who's going to lose your phone. And finally, this is the craziest story of the week. Here's an Italian man living in Dublin, Ireland. He had a year-long game of chess that he played with his landlord. Now, there are no more details in the article about the chess game. Does this mean, like, you move one day and
probably.
The next day I come in and I move? Or whenever we see each other, we play?
It's probably like email. Like, whenever you get to it, you make your move and then you let the other person know.
Yeah.
Right. So 1 year in, this chess game is being played. And I don't know whether the fight that ensued had to do with the chess game or not, but that's what they were doing at the time when one man killed the other man by hitting him over the head with dumbbells. But the reason this made the news is he then cut open his chest and attempted to eat his landlord's heart.
Oh, my God.
What the hell?
Pathologists say the 39-year-old victim suffered dozens of severe knife wounds to his head and chest. In addition to being hit over the head with the dumbbells, he had been cut fully open. However, the heart did remain. The man's lung was missing. So the guy apparently was trying to eat his heart and either got confused or wanted an appetizer or something like that, but did eat his landlord's lung, just had not gotten to the heart yet before neighbors heard the racket, called police, and they showed up, and the man was over the body. So the moral of this story is
don't
what?
Play chess.
Don't play chess. Right. I think that's our takeaway for this all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Very excited, Kevin. I know you are, too. Going to see the Kings take on the Anaheim Ducks Saturday, January 25th at Dodger Stadium as part of the 2014 NHL Stadium Series. It's the largest outdoor hockey game in California history. And one of the players who's going to be there playing on the ice for Anaheim is Teemu Selanne, who joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show once again. Hi, Teemu. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
If you stick around long enough in the NHL, you're going to see everything, including playing hockey at Dodger Stadium. What did you think when you heard that this was going to be happening?
Well, the first question was like, if it's going to be possible with the ice conditioning and the warm weather here. But if somebody would tell me 10 years ago that we're going to have this kind of game, you know, that would sound really silly. But obviously, we're all excited about it.
Now, how does a player like you prepare for a game like that? Is it going to be completely different because it's in a stadium and there's fans everywhere, like in different places? It's not an arena like you're used to playing in.
No, it's going to be totally different. But first of all, when the game day starts, there's no morning practice, and obviously the setup in the Dodger Stadium, there's all the fans going to be further out, and the whole setup is going to be so different that. You know, I don't really know what to expect now, but as I experienced, it's going to be awesome. You know, both teams are really excited about this.
You should bring flippers in case it turns to water. Just to be prepared.
Yeah, I heard that beside that rink, there's going to be like a outdoor beach ball.
Yeah, they have a beach ball of all.
So,
yep.
Yeah, so atmosphere is going to be awesome.
Did you, a lot of the players in the NHL who grew up in cold weather countries like you did you start out playing hockey outdoors? Is this, in a way, are we going back to six-year-old Teemu Selanne that day?
No, absolutely. Like when I was five, six, you know, the only what we had was outdoor rinks. And not until I joined the real team, like when I was eight, you know, I got to play in the indoors. But yeah, the outdoors, that's how it started. And that's how the passion really, you know, was there, and it's all about how it started, you know.
Sure, sure. And I know you love hockey. I mean, no, you know, you've been playing hockey since you were old enough to skate. It's got to be so bittersweet for you every day that you go to work to think that this is going to be your last season. But with as well as the Ducks are doing, particularly this year, tell me you don't rethink that decision sometimes and think, well, I could probably squeeze out one more.
I try not to think about that because I have been thinking like that many years already. But, you know, that's the one reason why I wanted to come back. You know, our team has been so solid this year, and we knew that we're going to have a good team. And and obviously dream to win the Stanley Cup. It's there, but we don't want to really talk about that too much. But you know, the way how we have been playing, it's just it's hard to be a part of it. And I don't really consider this as a job. You know, this is a, like still hobby, and it's fun to go to the rink and that feeling with try to win with your teammates, and they're like brothers for you. So it's really challenging and fun.
Kevin, well, this is Kevin speaking, and I'm a Kings fan, so
it's okay.
Okay, good. But I just wanted to know if you get worried sometimes about peaking too early. This is a long season, and you guys have been on fire. We're not really near the playoffs yet. Do you worry about that?
Not really. I think, obviously, like you said, it's a long season, but you try to play every night as good as you can. And the way how we played last year also is very similar than last year. But obviously, last year, we couldn't take the next step in the playoffs. And that's what's really bothered us. And that's the one thing what we want to do better this year, you know. We want to take the next step in the playoffs and then go further and further. And so losing first round last year, it was an experience that we don't want to face again. So there's a lot of room to improve. And I don't think we have been playing as good as we can. So there's still room to improve, you know.
Well, that's a terrifying thought to everyone else in the Pacific Division, because when you've won 9 out of 10, 18 out of 19, it's hard to imagine how a team could play any better. Tell me what it's like to be part of a game like the other night against Vancouver that you win 9-1. Are you almost just laughing at how silly it got?
Well, a little bit. Obviously, you try not to laugh and during the game, and you know, I think the numbers got out of control a little bit, and then, you know, the frustration hit from their point, and it was a little ugly in the end, and you just hope that nobody got hurt, you know, in that kind of game. And, you know, honestly, we got 7 minutes, 5-3 power play, and we almost tried to not to score. At least we were not as normal hungry than we were before, and you don't want to embarrass the team we play against. And I have been part of that on the other side too, and it's not fun. So, but
what's the worst loss you ever had?
I think it's something like very similar, 9-1, 9-2, but it was actually last time in Olympics, Vancouver, I think it was first period, we were down 6-0 against the U.S. in the semifinal. So it was kind of that was embarrassing. Like you almost hope that it would be a curling game that you can give up during the game. Yes, okay, I'm done.
This is the voice of Tami Solati here at the Kevin Beach Show from the Anaheim Ducks. He is, of course, the Finnish Flash. Now you're going to be going back to the Olympics. This is how many for you now, Tami? This is your sixth Olympics, I think.
Yes, sixth. Yeah.
And how will that work with the schedule in the NHL? Do we take a break? Does everybody just go off and play for the respective countries and we take some time off? Or what's the schedule going to look like?
Yeah, we're going to have a couple of weeks break from the league. And I think that's a great idea because, you know, every little hockey player's dream is also playing the Olympics. And now we have a chance to go and play for your own country. And it's very, very special. And like I said, I have been six times and they're all so special. And it's so great feeling when you play for your country.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, you grew up as a little boy loving hockey like you did, and you dream of playing in the Olympics. To do it once is a capper for a career, and then to go back a second time, oh my God, I'm so blessed. And then it gets to be third, fourth, fifth, sixth. It's almost too much to imagine for one person. But man, you are blessed and you are lucky, and I hope you enjoyed it. It sounds like it's going to be awesome.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. I'm enjoying every moment.
Well, Tami, I hope you have a great game and your team loses. And we have a pair of tickets for the 2000.
How dare you, Kevin?
What? I'm giving away tickets.
What?
I'm giving away tickets. Am I not supposed to do that?
Yes, give away the tickets.
2014 NHL Stadium Series, Anaheim Ducks, Los Angeles Kings, Dodger Stadium, Saturday the 25th at 6:30. And if you want tickets, you can call now, 1-800-520-1067. Good luck, Tami. Thanks very much for spending the time with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Kevin Smith joins us in studio coming up next here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin Smith.
First, though, his Hollywood Babylon podcast partner, Ralph Garman, is here with the Showbiz Beat for Friday. What's going on?
Speaking of which, Hollywood Babylon, tonight!
No!
Every Friday night at 10 p.m., most Friday nights at 10 p.m., we do it over at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. Come on out. Check us out tonight at 10 o'clock. We have a lot of fun in this show, and I think you will, too.
You can go to improv.com or csmod.com or babylonralph.com. There's a lot of places you can go to get your tickets.
No.
I suggest you go to one of them and get them. Of course, we'll be talking about the passing of a legend, the professor. Russell Johnson, better known as the professor from Gilligan's Island, passed away yesterday at his home in Washington. He was 89 years old. I always felt bad for Professor and Marianne, because in the first season of Gilligan's Island, they just dumped them out of the theme song.
They did?
Yeah. They go, the skipper, Gilligan, the skipper to the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, and the rest here on Gilligan's. The first season theme song just totally dumped. There's seven cast members. You had five of them. You couldn't squeeze in Professor and Marianne. They became the rest.
They're the rest.
Then the second season, they turned around and put him back in.
That's funny.
That's harsh.
He's dead? I didn't even know he was sick.
Come on, Gilligan, that's not funny.
This was before your time, Ralph, but we used to have Russell Johnson on from time to time on the Kevin and Bean Show back in the early days. And the famous Jetsons radio play that we presented live in front of an audience at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
The professor was one of our actors. He was one of the guys who came in on the on the show. It was a lot of fun.
What a low point of his career.
It must have been. I'm sure he
looking
felt like
back, I can totally see that.
Poor Russell. Yeah.
He must have said.
That's probably what killed him.
He must have said, it's over.
He did hang on another 20 years after
that. I'm not saying it wasn't a slow death. It was like a cancer. Working with Kevin and Bean is like cancer. That's what they say.
No one says that except
you. Everyone says that.
No.
We enjoyed very much getting a chance to meet with him and work with him, and he was a nice guy.
And Dave Madden. Reuben Kincaid, the manager of the Partridge Family on that old TV series, he also passed away yesterday in Florida.
Have I ever showed you a picture of my dead dad?
No.
Oh, you've got to see it. He's super dead.
He was 82 years old.
Is that Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Might be.
Yeah.
Just went to the dead file as fast as I could.
It's huge.
Perhaps dead. Meant to play this one instead.
Dead, 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 dead.
Danny Bonaducci said it was like a surrogate father to him growing up on that show. Apparently he took real good care of him on set, since Danny had a weird relationship with his own father, apparently.
Hmm.
But that's neither here nor there.
And according to the ratings, people are tiring of American Idol. The premiere of the latest edition of that show, down 22% from the previous season. Now, don't get me wrong, it's still nuts. If 15.2 million people were watching, show would die to have those ratings.
Which is more than any show you watch, except for football.
It was easily the most viewed show of the evening. But still, they're desperately trying to get it back to those original numbers, and I don't think that's ever going to happen, no matter how many Harry Connick Jr.'s put in the mix. Although, Bean, you said people are saying good things about him, huh?
Yeah, rave reviews on Harry, yeah. Apparently he's a lot of fun.
Good times. Today's celebrity birthdays, Muhammad Ali, Dave, the King of Mexico, who puts this list together.
I don't know who that is.
Didn't mention him all morning. Maybe the most famous boxer of all time. At one time, he was the biggest celebrity in the world, with the most recognized name and face out of anyone ever in the world.
Not my fault.
72 years old today. Actor Josh Molina, we also haven't mentioned him all morning long. One of my favorites from West Wing, currently can be seen over there on Scandal. He is 48 years old.
Might be getting your information from some bad sources.
I think so. But sure, Dave included Maury Povich. He made sure his name was on the list this morning.
Well, he should have.
At 75, Steve Harvey's 57. Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals, 55 years old today. Jim Carrey's 52. First Lady Michelle Obama celebrates her 50th birthday. Naveen Andrews of Lost is 45. DJ Tiesto's 45. While we're talking DJs, Calvin Harris. Me and Mrs. Jones.
Nope,
Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, nope. Mrs. Jones.
That's Billy Paul.
Oh.
Close.
Who was the Major Harris song?
You're thinking of Major Harris, Love Won't Let Me Wait, I think is the completely unrelated. Calvin Harris.
It would have been good if I had gotten the right song. He's 30 years old today. Zooey Deschanel's 34. Kid Rock's 43. And Ray J celebrates his 33rd birthday. How do you feel, Ray J?
Ray J, Bobby Brackett,
Yeah, she might move on to rappers and ball players, but we all know I hit it first.
That's right.
I hop in the club and bop a show love, and I don't even put in work.
Uh-huh.
I hit it first.
What a classy
young man. I hit it first.
His homage to porn star Kim Kardashian, I hit it first.
That's very nice.
There's no denying it. We got video evidence.
True.
He hit it first. Everyone has to go after Ray J. Get in line. Now serving. Number 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I know that we're already 17 days into 2014, but I feel like today is the day that the show is finally back up to full strength because Kevin Smith has joined us in studio, ladies and gentlemen. He was the one last remaining cast member that we hadn't seen this year. How are you, Kevin?
Thank you so much. I got to be honest, when I was driving over, I was thinking, is the protocol this late in the month to be like, Happy New Year, because I haven't seen anybody
since New Year.
But
it is a little late for
him. He opened the door, so Happy New Year,
everybody.
What is
the cutoff? That's weird. You
know, I think it's like second week of January. If you haven't gotten it in then, it's like, come on, we're all in the future, right?
Join so us. I just feel the like 17th been, basically is
yeah,
the day,
it's
which
way
is
too late. But I appreciate that. Convenient. I appreciate. I feel you're right. The show hasn't started this year, and now we can begin.
If anyone's heard the show so far this year, then you would know that's true.
Can I tell you what happened? I'm limping, and nobody could see that.
Why
on the radio.
Would you like a chair?
The Lord. No, I'm going to stand on the good foot and kind of stork it with the other one.
Get on the good foot.
You need a cane.
Someone bring my cape in, not a cane. I got this dog, this old dog Mulder.
If this story involves an owl, I swear to God, Kevin Smith, I'm not going to believe you.
No, but I thought of you guys when I put up my, like, the beginning of the year, I put up this long blog about everything I did in 2013, just as a kind of, like, for anyone that says that stoners are lazy, and I slap out the list, and it's thick. It's
right.
Like I was doing something almost every day. But, like, right in the beginning of the month, I forget which day it was, I want to say, like, January 12th, but on my schedule, it says, I go to K-Rock, but right before it says, I stop Owl from killing Shecky. And then that happened right before I came in. I was like, it was almost a year ago. This is another dog adventure, misadventure. I got two. I used to have Scully and Mulder, yellow labs. Scully passed away. Mulder's still hanging in there at age 15. But back legs are just gone.
Right.
That seems to be what goes first on these labs, man. You can't replace them. It's not like a bumper. You can't go in there.
Yeah.
So he's all alive up top, can move, like he's very strong in the legs, and he can still wag his tail, but the back legs are useless. So I wind up slinging a scarf under him and hike up the back legs and become his back legs. So he walks on the front and I'm walking front. Even I can't like circumvent where it's going to fly because the scarf comes into play and it's pushing against and making it spray in 96 directions. So, you know, I just sit there going, what a world. But I love this dog, right? And I know
Obviously. This
dog would do it for me. Like, he's so empathetic. He's got these real eyes. It's just like, dude, I've seen you masturbate. You could do this for me. So I do that when he's peeing. I do it when he's pooping as well. But at this point, it's so, you know, it's tough. He lives on the second floor. In order to go out, we have to go to the third floor with him. He doesn't really even make it to the third floor most times. We have this elevator-like dumbwaiter in our house that we use to transport him from floor to floor. I mean, we use it for groceries chiefly, but now it's, you know, it's a crippled dog.
Are you living in Wayne Manor? What's happening?
We do. I open up a Shakespeare head, I press a button, and I transport my crippled dog upstairs. Yeah, I'm like, he's in a little suit, and he still can't walk. So I bring him upstairs, usually in the elevator, and then do the walk outside with him. And then feed him, then bring him back downstairs. And he lives a pretty stationary life. He's got, like, bed sores and stuff. You got to flip him back and forth. The elevator's not working. So I'm like, oh, man. So I got to dead weight him up the stairs, which is fine. At this point, he's thinning up. He's probably only about, like, 70, 65 pounds or something like that.
It's a big dog.
Problem is, though, when you're picking him up and you're holding him, and this is the first time he's gone out in like 10 hours, he's got to go, man. So he doesn't barely make it normally. To the outside, it's like I'm 5 feet away, 5 steps away, yet the door is... And to it, the door is closed. So I'm like, I can't even. I got to put him down, let him keep his, and open the door.
Don't put him down just because he's old, Kevin.
Oh, believe me, I had that fight with my wife the other day. I was like, if my tail's wagging, you keep me alive.
I can't believe Ralph hasn't said the words puppy lake yet as he's listening to this story. Because usually if a dog limps, Ralph wants to put him down.
He humors me on this. He knows how much I love Mulder. So I'm carrying him up, and he's leaking all over the place. I said, damn it. Leave him up there for a while. Feed him. Have to get him back downstairs. I'm like, the elevator, I press it again. Jen is up at this point. My wife was like, can you check the thing on the other floor? She's like, it's not working. I was like, damn it. So I'm going to carry him down.
Catch.
Yeah. Oh, I wish. I scoop him up, and I take one step on the staircase. And just as my foot is landing on the staircase,
you're thinking
the stoner aspect of me that, like, had I not already
using the P word,
sorry, pee all over the stairs.
Thank you.
And I'm wearing these slippers. Really, that word is bad?
Yeah. Apparently.
Interesting. Okay. He peed
it's
on the stairs.
It's ridiculous, but go ahead.
My slipper hits it. Bam. Can I say ass?
Yes.
Yeah. Ass over tea kettle. I go down and I'm still holding him.
Oh,
so it's all this weight plus an extra 70 pounds landing on my bent foot on the stair.
You're lucky you have a leg.
I swear to you, I could fit. The only thing that saved me is I rolled just to the right a second before it went snap. All that weight hits so damn hard. Dude.
Wow.
And I yell, my wife comes out and she's like, what can I do? I'm like, nah, man. It was such an old man moment.
Right.
And yeah. I'm still trying to hold him. She's like, let him go. I'm like, I can't. He's got no back legs.
And she's like, neither do you.
Oh, no, he's going to carry you both up.
Did you hit
stairs.
Your life alert necklace?
I did. I'm falling and I can't get up. Oh, it was so bad. Oh. And so throughout the day, I kind of kept off my feet. And then I did, last night we shot the season finale of our show, Spoilers. And so I was up standing all day and moving back and forth. And so when I was leaving the set, the medic was like, hey, man, you want an ice pack? And I thought he meant because I sweat profusely when I breathe or anything. But he's like, look at your ankle. And it's swollen up, man. Looks
sweet.
Like it has a set of.
So you're playing hurt.
Playing hurt.
That's
today.
What you're telling us.
Yeah, big time. I'm really hurt, man.
Hey, Kevin Smith is here.
That's my sympathetic voice. I
like it. We had not built in 14 minutes for that story, unfortunately. Yeah. But.
Spit on the mic.
We had Haley Joel Osment in here yesterday.
Yes.
Who is in your new film, your Walrus movie that's coming out later
on
this
year. He is fantastic.
I was so impressed with him.
Movie.
What a nice young man. Smart, articulate, funny. We'd never had him on before, but he had rave reviews about working on your movie. What a bizarre casting for that and also for this Spoils of Babylon. I mean, he's just really impressing people.
Yeah, he's gone. He's come back to work. He went off and kind of took classes.
Went to college, yeah.
Went to college, lived a life, and now he's like, well, you know, I grew up on sets, and this is what I like doing. So kind of had a Rumspringa of sorts, if you will,
yeah.
Where he was in the industry, and then he was like, you know, they were like, go out amongst the normal people, and
right.
If you want to stay amongst them, stay there, and if not, come back and be an actor. And and that's what he did. He kind of came back and decided to act, and he
crushed. Now, how do you choose? You're famous for your casting, but how do you choose a guy like that for a film? You didn't know him, right?
No, not at all. But I was kind of thinking about it. At one point, I was like, wow, maybe he could be the guy who gets turned into a walrus. So that was even before I'd kind of finished it. I'd written a few scenes. And I was like, that'd be kind of cool. Michael Parks versus Haley Joel Osment. And then we'd already cast Justin. And then there was a guy named Sam Engelbart who runs Demarest Films who financed the flick. And he was like, what about Haley Joel Osment? And I was like, oh, my God. I thought of him and before when I was writing it. So we reached out, and he was like, yeah, totally. He loved the script and jumped in. But he crushes it, man. It's like he plays this very complex role. He's funny. He plays a podcaster, and he has this amazing voice. You guys had him in here.
He does, yeah.
Yeah,
and
he
produces
voice.
Content as well, like nobody's business. He knows so many obscure stories. And plus, he's been on sets with, like, Spielberg and M. Night Shyamalan, a host of material, this guy. So I'm like, dude, do a podcast. Because in the movie, he plays a podcaster. But and he's got a complicated relationship with Justin's character. He does wonderful, wonderful work, and he's kind of one half of the heroic team that comes to.
And this
Justin's
movie was a
movie.
Surprise to you. I mean, you had a completely different career path in mind for what your final movie was going to be, and then this one just kind of hit you out of nowhere. You had to make it, right?
It came off of one of our podcasts. We were talking about this walrus story that had traveled all over the internet, and I said, "Wow, this would be a weird horror story: a guy who turns another guy into a walrus." And so it was an exercise, and I was waiting for news on Clerks 3, so I was like, let me write a script. I wrote the script, and I was like, this is fun. Let me see if I can find money. I found money. I was like, let me see if I can get a cast. And it was pushing whimsy just to see if you could pull it off, and it was like, I wasn't invested. If somebody's like, this is dumb, leave it alone, I'd be like, yeah, you're right. But everybody was just interested enough to be like, I want to see what this looks like. And we kept pushing whimsy, and suddenly we got this nearly finished movie. We have two more days to shoot next week, actually, I believe it is, to finish up. What we got about, I'd say, 95% of the flick done.
Ralph, who are you in this film, this walrus movie?
I just have a quick little scene. I play a Canadian police detective.
And he did it so well.
Who's helping Haley Joel Osment and Genesis Rodriguez, who plays Justin's girlfriend in the film. They're searching for him. He's disappeared. We know what's happened to him, but they don't. And so they go to the police for help, and I play a Canadian police detective.
Do you use your Bieber accent voice? A little bit, yeah.
He was pretty darn convincing. He didn't go over the top where you're like, oh, he's parodying Canada. You'd actually go like, wow, Ralph's got Canada in him, a little bit of Canada.
Ralph's got a lot of things in him. All right, we need to take a break. Kevin Smith is here. We'll be right back.
Looking for a great way to kick off your weekend? How about tonight, Hollywood Babylon with our friends Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman. It's going to be at the Hollywood Improv tonight. Tickets available just $25 at improv.com. 10 o'clock tonight, again, for Friday Hollywood Improv, 18 and over, please. Hey, Kevin Smith.
When Kevin Smith's here, you're all for it. When Kevin Smith's in the room, oh, let's go to that. Yeah, everybody should go to that. Yeah, when I try to talk about it, you're like, no. No.
Courtesy to our guest.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin Smith, are
we
you?
We like Kevin.
Are you an Academy voter? Do you get to choose the movies that get nominated for Oscars?
I am. Since Chasing Amy, I've been an Academy member, I think, in the director's branch, which I never understood because I'm not much of a director. I always wanted to be in the writer's branch. But I guess director's branch is kind of nice. But.
So can you vote for other categories? Or how does that
you
work?
Get to vote for
the director,
you nominate your category. You get to vote for every category when the final ballot comes out. Yeah, it's more about nominations where you're separated in terms of like the director's branch and the writer's branch.
Got it.
Can we have your vote?
Can we have your vote? Like that guy who gave the Baseball Hall of Fame vote to Deadspin? Can you give us your vote and then we'll just pick here we're going
to
vote for?
So I sign my thing over to you.
Yeah.
I think they'll throw me
it's
out of the academy.
It's an awesome idea.
It is a great idea and I would do that and I honestly would not mind
being
thrown out of an organization, but it's a badge of honor of being thrown out of any organization, but what I love about the being in that organization, the Academy, is come on, free screeners, man.
Free screeners. Yeah. You just get to see all the movies at home. Yeah, of course.
That has been the highlight of my entire 20-year movie career. There's free movies that come in the fall. And you know what I just watched? I mean, we did it for spoilers, but I got it as a screener. Did anybody see Lone Survivor?
Yes.
Uh-uh.
I saw it last weekend.
I that was one of those movies that, like, I'm not a military movie guy because all those dudes look so butch. And, like, in the opening of this movie, opening, like, 3 minutes, there are dudes doing things just to go through training, just to become part of the elite.
Yep.
That, like, make me – I was hyperventilating, like, in the room. Just, oh, my Lord, who would put themselves through this? And that's just the training part of it. So –
correct me if I'm wrong. I watched that movie.
Yes.
And my response was, I will never complain about any issues that I have ever again.
I'll do you one better. I was on my way to the theater, and I was like, man, my heels are so cracked. I need a pedicure. And then watching these dudes
not a seal.
Jump off a mountain, I was just like, I'm going to suck it up. I'm gonna do my
no
own heels.
No lotion for my heels.
Oh, my Lord. It was breathtaking how brave these men were. And I didn't know this story at all, so I went in completely cold. And this is not normally the kind of flick that I go in for. Like, I can appreciate it, but this is just not in a world of my druthers. I don't want to watch people fight. And this was no exception. It just, like, it's a total anti-war movie. But what I was really, really blown away by, Mark Wahlberg, who normally, you know, kind of is one actor. It's just like, hey, it's Marky Mark.
Right.
But he actually gives, like, a really strong performance in this movie. What was the actor's name? Ben Foster?
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Ben Foster.
Mm-hmm. The Peter Berg, though, my hat goes off to this
the director.
He finds – yeah, the director, Peter Berg. He finds a way to go inside a very – what's the word? Like – uber male culture. He did it in Friday Night Lights. Like, football is an impenetrable world to me because I don't have that much testosterone in my body.
Right.
So, you know, when you tell me, hey, you want to see a football movie? I'm like, nah, not really. But I watched Friday Night Lights. I was like, oh my Lord, I feel for this. Now I get it. I understand why people go out at night at Texas and watch these games and stuff. So he found a way in and humanized people that I could never identify with. Dudes who are like, I'm going to do 20 sit-ups or more, you know, in pursuit of football. Like, that just, I can't get my head around it. So same thing here, like Navy culture or SEAL culture, rather. It's something, or any military service culture, something I could never get my head around. I appreciate them doing it, but like, if somebody came to me and said, would you serve your country? I was like, serve them what, like tea, cookies? The idea of getting in shape to do anything is beyond me, particularly that level of shape. So I've never been like one of those guys that's like, yeah, Marine service, whatever, Navy SEALs, Army, Navy, whatever. Peter Berg found a way to like humanize people who are sitting there doing impossible things with their body, like having these races just to be competitive, not because they're chased, you know, just to like see who's better than the next, all in training for this moment that they face, this horrifying moment where they have to jump off a mountain. I don't think I'm spoiling anything. It must be in the trailers. But, like, they leap off a mountain, dude. Like, it's either that or
get
killed.
With no landing.
Yeah, nothing in sight. And they just roll what feels like a 2-3 minute sequence. And you feel it. Every hit, like the tree stump, the rocks, like, Oh, it was breathtaking. I went in expecting nothing. I absolutely love this.
And movie. I walked out and I said, "Thank God for those people."
No,
yes.
No. I mean, I was going to say no S, but no crap.
I felt that way after Battleship.
Dude, this movie makes you forgive Peter Berg for Battleship. I believe.
Thank God for those people taking on the aliens in the water.
Stop it.
Thank God for Rihanna there, or else we would be overrun with water aliens.
Ralph, you close your umbrella, LOL. If it wasn't for Peter Berg making that movie, I don't know if they would have been able to get to what was it called again?
Lone Survivor.
Oh, Lone Survivor. Okay. I think I read somewhere that he had to, like, in order to get to that movie, I think he had to do Battleship or something like that. It's a price well paid. I think it's like, I couldn't understand this movie. Like, opened number one, made almost $40 million. I was like, what is this?
Yeah,
I saw a billboard.
It's great.
But it's definitely worth seeing in a theater. Great story.
This is the voice of Kevin Smith here on the Kevin Bean Show. If we can get back to the Oscars for just 1 second. You said you're in as a director. You vote for who will win Best Director. How do you feel about, and I know some people have a real problem with something like the Oscars existing because you're pitting one art against another art and declaring a winner.
Right. Yeah, I'm against it because I'm never up for it.
I don't think that's what he was asking.
No, not at all. I mean,
it's kind of what I'm asking because, like, in the directing category, how do you decide that it's harder to make Nebraska than it is to make The Wolf of Wall Street? You know what I mean? It's just, it's so random.
You have to stop and appreciate something like this. Who normally gives out awards or whatever? Like, you know, the government gives you an award for the Nobel Peace Prize or something like that, or throws you into the Kennedy Center or something like that. Some governing body of the country gives you an award. It kind of means something. When you're like, hey, we're all in the same club, let's give each other awards. You know, it's like you got to take it with a grain of salt. And I know they blow it up to a cool, huge event. And it's fun to watch and whatnot. But, like, it's, you know, it's self-congratulatory. It's an industry going, we like each other.
How do you choose? Like, in the directing category.
The movies I like, but the stuff that I really go for never, you know, takes the top honors. Like, let me see.
What's the movie of the year this year, Ralph?
What's that?
Categories. There's like nine.
Well, let's talk about directing since we're talking about the directors. Right, okay. And I think this year is sort of a foregone conclusion. And we talked about, Kevin and I talked about this when we did our Golden Globe podcast.
Yes.
But I think you have to look at, it's in terms of achievement. You know, it's not really one versus the other. It's like specialized achievement in a given field, I think, is what they're trying to qualify here. Here's your directors. David O. Russell for American Hustle.
He's a great director.
Great director. Alexander Payne for Nebraska. Also
He's
a great
also
director.
A great director.
Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave.
He's a great director as well.
Martin Scorsese for The Wolf of Wall Street.
Undeniably, yeah. How did he get on the list? Undeniably, these are all great directors.
And then Alfonso Cuarón.
There's your
for
winner,
Gravity.
I believe.
That guy has to win.
I mean, he won the Golden Globe, but I don't think that's a true bellwether. It's just all of those
because
gentlemen
of
did
the,
an amazing job. But if you look
because
at Gravity.
Of the difficulty in making Gravity, right?
How the difficulty is how somebody pitches that movie to any studio and they go, okay. Like, it's not about wars in space. It's about, like, a middle-aged man and a middle-aged woman get lost in space, and she floats around and kind of thinks about her life.
And you go, okay, so what? Who else is it? No, nobody. So to make that
who
as
are the
good
aliens?
As it was.
Who's got a lightsaber?
Right.
You know, who's the villain? Does she find out that Darth Vader's her father at the end? There's nothing. And all you're saying is, like, it's going to have breathtaking visuals.
But then the aliens come and save her, right? They save her life.
They're like, no, none of that. Just a moon and the Earth. But it's stunning. It's that is a directorial achievement. I know some people are like, no, directing actors, that's a directorial achievement. Absolutely. But that's visionary.
Right.
Like, I take my hat off to all those gentlemen, but that clearly is an achievement.
In terms of the art of film, it almost advances the cause. It's something that no one has done before in that sort of believable fashion that really can
absolute movie magic. And it's utterly a movie. You know what I'm saying? There's no politics involved. You can just go and escape with that, and it captures your imagination, takes you on a journey, and it converts people. I know a lot of people are like, I don't like Sandy Bullock, and after that movie, like, she's pretty good.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Who can I hear your accent again, please? Yeah. On what?
I don't like Sandy Bullock. She's pretty good.
Who would you like to see win the Best Motion Picture of the Year? We got a little bit of a cheat at the Golden Globes.
There's only nine they picked this year.
They separate them into two categories.
Here are your choices. American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street.
All right, you got to do them slow. I'm sorry.
All right.
American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club,
Gravity, Her, Nebraska.
Right, stop. Her is an amazing movie. If nobody's seen this yet, probably the best, most original movie is about relationships I've seen in a long, long time. Absolutely touching. an utter magic trick. He should definitely win best screenplay because it's the most imaginative screenplay of the year.
Okay. Like he did at the Globes.
Like he did at the Globes, yeah. There you go. They are a pretty decent bellwether. But this movie, it's beautiful. If anybody's ever had their heart broken or ended a relationship or had a relationship ended against your wishes.
With your computer?
Even though it's about a guy who falls in love with a voice on his computer, his operating system, it is a beautiful poem about accepting the end of a relationship and seeing it for what it is, seeing the beauty instead of the negative.
Is that your vote, Kevin? Is that the one you're going to vote for?
I mean, I don't know. We got to keep going with the list, but that's definitely high on the list. Like, I've always enjoyed Spike Jonze as a director.
Sure.
Absolutely visionary director. But this is the first time I was like, he's the full package. He's a writer, director. This dude's total auteur. Like, because that screenplay, it is so damn original. While still playing within the sandbox we all are familiar with as romantic comedy, I guess there are tropes in there, but think about the magic trick of Joaquin Phoenix carries the whole movie by himself. Like, you're watching him fall in love and there's no other person there. But Scarlett Johansson should get nominated for something because you don't even see her. And she makes that character come to life.
Right.
Like one of the best female performances of the year. And she's not even on camera at one time. So worth the money. Go out and see that flick. Okay, what's after her?
Nebraska.
Wonderful flick as well.
Philomena.
I love this movie. I sent it to my mom because my mom was one of these kids that like...
She tried to give you away, right?
Yeah, away. She was just like, look how fat he is.
You wouldn't leave.
She was one of those kids that like her mom was forced to give her up because she was like a 14-year-old pregnant kid. Yeah. So I was like, Mom, you got to watch this. That's a wonderful flick. I love Judi Dench. But I'm a big Steve Coogan fan, and he co-wrote this and did a great job. He's also the co-star. She's getting all the attention because it is a tour de force role. Some people say it's a surprise that it got nominated. Not at all. It's a wonderful movie. It deserves to be there.
12 Years a Slave.
I still haven't seen that yet, but all I hear is great things. I love his earlier work, Steve McQueen.
The Great Escape.
He's fantastic when he jumps over the fence.
Different guy.
Different guy altogether.
Sure. Same name. Yeah.
But I'm going to watch. I've yet
that
to watch.
That movie will
it.
Blow you away too.
Yeah, but, I've heard great things.
You have to pick. Wolf of Wall Street's the last one.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, so those are your choices.
Pick
one.
I enjoyed that movie.
Go.
Of that list, I mean, if I'm shooting from the hip,
yep.
I would say her probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to do a little more research, then you'll vote for real.
Boy, Dallas Buyers Club, though.
I still
really,
have to see the
really
12 Years
me.
Of Slave, so I can't fully say that.
Dallas Buyers Club really moved me. I thought that was a great
I agree, movie. And who knew that Jared Leto was that actor? I mean, you know,
right.
He's
knew
always
Matthew
been.
McConaughey was that actor.
That one, yeah, but he's always been a great actor to me. He always finds something special, and he's able to bring something to the surface, but who knew he could get that thin?
Kevin Smith, we're going to have to ask you to go because we're going to talk about something you know nothing about, which is sci fi.
What?
We have a star of Helix on the Sci Fi Channel, Billy Campbell.
The Rocketeer will be coming on.
Oh, my Lord. I did a panel with him at the LCAP for the Rocketeer anniversary. Nice guy.
You'll stick around?
No.
No.
Sci-Fi Channel, Kevin, you've been talking about the show for the past couple of weeks. It is called Helix. It airs Friday nights at 10. We couldn't be more excited to welcome the star of the show, Billy Campbell, to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Billy, how are you?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Our pleasure. This Helix, man, this is intense. I have two words for you, Monkey Graveyard. Right?
Yeah, monkey graveyard. I got two words for you. Lisa May, is she in the house?
She is.
I am.
Actually, yeah.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. I'm thrilled.
Really?
Wow.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're thrilled.
We have a love
thrilled.
Connection being made here right now.
What just happened?
What just happened,
what
Billy?
What I've been waiting for my whole life. That's what happened.
You turned it on with the sexy voice there, too, Billy. Well done, sir.
It's got it going on.
Yeah, it's guys. Lisa,
it's
you there?
Still morning in my part of the world.
Tell us about Helix. Tell people who haven't seen. There's only been two episodes so far, so it's not too late to catch up. Tell them about the show.
Well, it's just a great sort of sci-fi, claustrophobic sci-fi thriller set in the Arctic Circle in a remote biological research facility. It's kind of harkens back to a couple of my favorite films, a few of them, The Thing. Both the Howard Hawks version and the John Carpenter version, and then the Andromeda Strain. You remember that film?
Oh yeah,
from the 70s?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. So it's very tense, very claustrophobic, and it'll scare the pants off you.
It does that, and I'll tell you, the thing that is really intriguing for me, and sometimes the scariest things are the things that could really happen, is I am horrified by viruses that can potentially, and it's happened in human history, kill millions of people. And sometimes they come out of nowhere, and it's really hard to kind of wrap your head around what's happening. And the Center for Disease Control, even though we only usually see them on the news once in a while to talk about the cold and flu season, I mean, those people, and your character plays a Center for Disease Control guy, they're ground zero for trying to figure these things out fast before they spread. And that, imagine the pressure on a real life person who has the job that your character has in this show.
Oh, I can't imagine. I really can't imagine. So that's why I'm in TV.
You add to that the layer of their experimenting with things they shouldn't be experimenting with and coming up with new viruses that no one's ever seen. And you have this TV show, and it's fascinating. You shoot the whole thing in what is the Arctic Circle that we see on the TV?
Well, yes. For a good part of the first part of the series, we're in the base in the Arctic Circle. But then we manage to – things go awry very soon, but very early on. But then we get out of the base. Show opens up, and we get out of the base, and you see some of the rest of the world, and it's pretty intense.
I hear that you actually shot this in the summertime in very hot weather in Canada, correct?
Yes.
And what was that like, wearing all those big heavy suits and outfits and, you know, dressing for Arctic conditions, yet you must have just been dying on the inside?
You know, not to be too graphic, but we were kind of sweating balls, and it was pretty unpleasant, and there was a lot of plastic snow floating around, and so it was not pleasant.
Well, Helix airs on the Sci-Fi Channel Friday nights at 10. And I'll tell you something else I'm really impressed with, and I don't know anything about budgets or how TV shows get made, but the stuff that happens to the people who get infected, the special effects are amazing, and it's just so terrifying to see a human body turn into – I mean, you had that one human body in the pilot that just liquefies, and those effects are amazing.
Yeah, and we have one of – my brother is infected, and the actor, Neil Napier, Canadian actor, great guy, comes to lunch when we were not shooting in his infected makeup, and we all got up and left the table.
Yeah, he's got a lot wrong with that face.
He's too disgusting. Oh, yeah.
Problem eyes, problem skin. He's got all kinds of issues.
It was pretty bad.
Well, we do love to tip our listeners off, especially to news shows. It's so tough for them to kind of cut through the clutter with so many things debuting on so many channels, but this is one you absolutely need to check out. It is called Helix. New episodes here Friday nights at 10 on Sci-Fi, and you can catch up with the two episodes you've missed on the website, too, at sci-fi.com. Billy Campbell, I'm going to give you the last word here. You and Lisa May, a tender goodbye here before we wish you well.
Well, how come you didn't ring the bell when I said your name?
I don't have the bell. That's Bean.
That is actually Bean.
But I love this show, Billy. I did watch it through my fingers because it's so scary. I'm probably going to watch it through a blanket next time, but it's awesome, and you're great in it. And
thanks.
Lovely talking to you.
I hope everybody is half as scared watching as we were making it.
All right. Have a good weekend, Billy. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
Showbiz time. Ralph is here. Friday morning, Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Tonight. Oh, I'm losing my week already. It's been a weird week. Seems like
it has.
Forever.
Today's Friday, though.
Today is Friday. So tonight at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I, you may have just heard him here on The Kevin and Bean Show, Smith and I will be doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood. You can come out and see us 10 p.m. tonight. We'd love to have you join us. We have a good time doing that show. Kevin gets baked, and I get loaded. And you guys get to watch the carnage, the wreckage.
And there's no language restraints.
There isn't.
Like there is here.
Yes. Go to improv. Just improv.com or CSMOD or Hollywood Babylon or BabylonRalph.com. There's tons of places to go to get your tickets. Tonight. That guy won't be here, but Glenda's going to come, so she'll be there.
Not once, not never.
Sad, sad news. The professor has left the island. Gilligan's Island, one of the most successful sitcoms in television syndication history, has lost its last male cast member. Russell Johnson, better known as the professor, has passed away at the age of 98. Dawn Wells, who played Marianne on the show, said...
I think he was just 89.
I'm sorry, 89. My two favorite people are now gone. The professor passed away this morning. My heart is broken. They were apparently very close.
she and Russell and Bob Denver apparently were the closest of the three cast members out of seven, and he was a good guy. I've seen him interviewed a bunch of times and stuff, and the professor was very much a character. He seemed like a very down-to-earth, funny sort of good guy.
I love that show, by the way.
It's very entertaining. Still very entertaining.
I still think so, yeah. Kevin, you probably hate it, right?
I haven't watched it in forever.
It's goofy and silly, but it's very fun. Very fun, lighthearted entertainment. Dave Madden, who was the cast member of another fun show, The Partridge Family, he passed away this week as well. But Reuben Kincaid, the manager of The Partridge Family, basically he did a lot of shtick with Danny Bonaducci, little kid actor who played Danny Partridge. They'd go back and forth, and it was always funny because Danny was wise beyond his years, and Reuben Kincaid, I think, touched him. I don't really remember. I don't remember the theme of the show so much or what was really happening.
I don't think it was that.
It's very funny. 82 years old, he passed.
Danny Bonaducci tweeted yesterday that this actor, Dave Madden, taught Danny to drive when Danny was 10 years old. So that's an interesting story.
He seemed like a goofy uncle that you could have a good time with. Britney Spears is trying to goose up her act in Vegas a little bit, bring in the crowds, perhaps turn things around. Has not been getting great reviews. People saying it's sort of lackluster and a little less than you expect from a Britney Spears concert. So she's bringing back some of her sets and costumes from other concerts, some of the greatest hits of her previous concert tours.
I would have thought that's what you do the first time.
Well, she does the songs
right
in concert, but she hasn't really worn the costumes and put the set pieces in and sort of made a retrospective of her live shows. So that's the next step for her. Will it help? God only knows. And Gisele Bündchen, the more she talks, the less I like her.
Really?
She really has to be quiet. She was the one who famously posted that picture of her breastfeeding her kid while a team of stylists were doing her nails and her hair and her makeup. And real mothers everywhere were like, you know what? I don't have that luxury. I can't just breastfeed my kid till they're seven because everything else in my life is being taken care of.
Right.
Then she was seen driving that ATV with her kid with no helmet on, with one hand, just catching air, just giant leaps over tree limbs and stuff.
Yeah.
That was not popular. Now today she's come forward and saying that she doesn't do anything to keep herself good looking when she's not working as a supermodel.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah. What is she trying to prove?
She said she doesn't own a hairbrush, Lisa.
Oh, come on.
Don't own a hairbrush.
How many of us believe that?
Does she ever wash her face? Does she just walk around dirty all the time?
In my job, you have to remember, people are brushing my hair every day. You have to remember the last thing I want on my day off is a brush in my hair.
Okay, so
I don't even own a hairbrush.
Shut up.
I go every day with a sleek bun as my style.
I'm with Lisa. Shut up.
You put your hair in a sleek bun. Don't you still need a brush to get your hair into a sleek
bun? Well,
I
guess if it's straight as a board, you don't.
I guess not, but doesn't own a hairbrush. Or a toothbrush, for that matter.
Does she add
a razor or a douchebag or anything?
Does she add at any point, and I just eat whatever I want. I never have to diet or exercise.
No, I'm sure.
I just take care of my children and go ATVing with them till they bounce off the backseat.
Have you seen the hilarious gifs this season of Tom Brady trying to high-five his teammates and nobody ever high-fives him back?
Yeah. They leave him hanging every time.
Every time.
It's really funny.
You're going to find out when he retires, they just hated his guts.
Yep, we sure are.
Belichick and him are the only two friends they have.
Puts his hand up to high-five a player and the player just walks right past him.
Yeah.
It is great.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Betty White is 92 years old today. When's she going to go on the island with Russell Johnson?
No kidding.
When's that going to happen? Maury Povich is 75. Steve Harvey's 57. Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals is 55. Jim Carrey's 52. Michelle Obama's 50. Naveen Andrews, 45 years old. DJs Tiesto and Calvin Harris celebrate their birthdays today. Kid Rock, Freddie Rodriguez, Zoe Deschanel, Ray J, and the birthdays that Dave the King of Mexico missed this morning. Muhammad Ali, 72 years
Minor.
Old.
Minor, okay.
Not a big name. Josh Molina, super talented actor from The West Wing and Scandal, is 48. And James Earl Jones now added to the list. That King of Mexico left.
No!
Up there. That's right, J.E.J. He left you.
Did Dave not know who he was when he saw his name?
Oh, I don't know any.
No!
I don't know the basis for that.
It's going on its own now. I'm sorry. I kept playing. What do you want me to do? You saw my hands, man.
I don't know the basis for Led Zeppelin. That's what Dave said when I told him James Earl Jones' birthday today. He's 83. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jimmy Kimmel's real-life cousin, Sal, who joins us each week on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk football, also writes about football for Grantland.com and works with Jimmy on the ABC Late Night Show at weeknights at 11:35. He also found a woman to have sex with him three different times, if you can believe it, Kevin, because he just had another kid last week.
Yeah.
Sal, who is this woman, and why does she keep saying yes to you?
She says, she doesn't speak English, so it's not really yes that she's saying. No. Let me just say, I don't want to get mushy about fatherhood or whatever, but really, there is no more beautiful sight than that of a bloody human baby scalp attempting to escape the one vagina you promised God to be loyal to for the next 40 years. It's breathtaking, and I can't explain it.
Now, you have, the latest was a son, so you're 3 for 3 on boys, right?
Yes, that's right.
And have you named
Jimmy
them all?
Jimmy calls it karma, by the way.
Yeah,
right.
Of course.
Have you named them all after sports figures, as I would expect from you?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't. The second one, we named Jack Romo after the great Cowboys future Hall of Fame quarterback. But and I was almost disowned by the entire family and had nothing to do with the naming.
You should have been. That should have been their response.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? We went with Harrison Francis, which is kind of like Franco Harris, but I don't even like the Steelers. So I don't know what that
Congratulations, anyway, Sal. Well done. But please stop. We don't need any more of you running around.
And at some point, aren't you going to have to stop going out and breaking people's knees because they're not giving you money?
What do you mean?
That's what you do for a living, right? Or am I missing that?
No, of course it's what I do. Now I need more money than ever.
Okay, all right.
Well, Sal, I told Kevin as the song was winding down, I said, I don't know what I hope to hear out of Sal's mouth because you have been a mixed bag this year. You know, when you pick somebody, it doesn't always go your way. And I'm a little bit terrified because I've got a lot invested in the game this weekend. So why don't we – well, let's start in the AFC. Let's start with Denver versus New England. This is the matchup everybody loves. You can never get enough of Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. How many times have these two quarterbacks faced off against one another, Sal?
This is the 74th time they've played in the last 3 years.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. It's a lot. And they're split down the middle. No, they've played a bunch. It's like 15 or something. I think if they played 10 times, they'd probably split 5-5. But this game, this specific game, fellas, is Peyton Manning's legacy. I know you think it's the Papa John ads, his legacy, but no. It's this game. And these specific 3.5 hours Sunday afternoon – That'll determine how Peyton Manning will be remembered. And I know he's up against Tom Brady and one of the great NFL criminal minds of all time and Bill Belichick, but it's not going to matter. Peyton Manning is actually the best coach in this game. The first time they met the season, the Pats had Gronkowski. The Broncos didn't have Julius Thomas. That's different now. Denver was up 24-0. They took the foot off the gas and ended up losing the game. It's not going to happen again. I think the Patriots are overvalued after beating up on a soft Colts team that didn't even belong last week. They're 2-7 against the spread in their last 9 road games. Manning wins his legacy game going away. Take Denver minus the 5 points and win 38-20.
Wow. How about that? Bold prediction. Quarterbacks aside, who do you think has a better team, Denver or New England?
I was very impressed with how the offensive lines moved their opponents last week. And I actually think Denver. I think that was a flash in the pan game for New England's running game with LeGarrette Blount. Denver had like 260 yards rushing against New England last time. I think this is a mismatch. I really do. The Patriots have come a long way. They lost like a ton of guys. They don't even, they shouldn't be in the championship game. They have guys murdering other people. I don't know. They shouldn't be there, but I think it, the cream rises to the top.
All right. What do you say now for my man Bean and his Seattle Seahawks against San Francisco 49ers?
This one was a little tougher for me to figure out, as if I'm going to be right on either one. But the 49ers are hot. Colin Kaepernick with those bulging back muscles, tantalizing tattoos, Bernie Davis, luscious pink lip. No, I mean they're hot. They're on a great streak, hot. You know what I mean? They've won
eight in a row.
Yeah. They may even be better than the Seahawks. And at this point in the season, you want to take the best team to advance. But This game's being played CenturyLink Field in Seattle. The Seahawks have outscored the 49ers 71-16 in the last two games at CenturyLink. The place is a disaster for San Fran. Just because you're great doesn't mean your greatness is exhibited everywhere. I think it's like if you put Meryl Streep in one of the Madea movies. She'd fall flat on her face. This is what it is. She wouldn't be able to keep up with all the, you know what I'm saying, right?
So you think that the home field makes all of the difference in this game?
It shouldn't usually, but this one instance, I think it does. You can't execute plays if you can't hear where they are. And the Seahawks defense is so stingy at home. The hardest hitting front seven in the game. They're much more disciplined than the Panthers. I think Kaepernick has a tough time keeping his composure. Marshawn then stiff arms his way to pay dirt a couple of times. Take Seattle, given the 3.5 points, I'm going with both favorites here, 21-10, Seattle-Denver, Super Bowl.
What do you think of Colin Kaepernick? Talent aside, does he bug you the way he bugs me with kissing his biceps and everything else and all the clowning around that he does, Sal?
Yeah, it's a little bit much, don't you think? I don't know. He could go away. I wish he had Tim Tebow's ability, but he's just better than that. He's going to stick around for a while.
I don't like any of the Harbaugh brothers either. Not a big fan of them as coaches.
No, I know. What do you guys think of this temperature thing? They're having like a gauge. Fox is running this thing where you could tell the player's temperature change during the game.
What?
There's an infrared camera that exhibits the player's temperature change. Unlike when the referees used to just take it rectally at halftime. But that's one of the new things.
Well, it's going to be the biggest game that's ever been played in Seattle in the NFL, obviously. The last time the team went to the Super Bowl, those wins were on the road in the playoffs. So this is the game that everybody has been wanting all season long. San Francisco, in a few short years that we've been in the NFC, has turned into our mortal enemy. These teams really do hate each other. And it's just, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like on Sunday. So you're going with Denver and the Seattle Seahawks to be in the Super Bowl. That's your pick.
That's going to be it. They're going to be playing in 2-degree weather in New Jersey in two weeks from Sunday.
Good times.
All right. The Cousin Sal on Twitter. You can read so much more about football and all sorts of great stuff at Grantland.com. And never miss an episode of His Cousin Jimmy Kimmel, weeknights at ABC 11:35. Thanks, Sal.
All right, thanks, fellas. Take care.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Finally Friday. Finally time for our last showbiz beat of the week. Here's Ralph Garman.
I miss Adam West.
You just talk to him.
He's the best.
Yeah, but I don't talk to him enough.
Mm-hmm. Ask him.
Does he ever call you up just to say hi, Ralph? Are you that kind of friend?
Every once in a while. Yeah, he'll drop a line. We have a lot of emails back and forth. We check in with each other. And then every year, I would sit there, I wait by the mailbox, and then the Christmas card comes. I recognize the writing on the envelope. I'm like, and I go,
I think you're telling Bean's story.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
What would 10-year-old Batman fanatic Ralph Garman think if somebody said to him, one day, young man, you're going to grow up and be actual friends with the real Adam West?
I'd say, Natch.
Yeah, that's true. Probably 10-year-old Ralph expected to be friends with Batman.
That's the whole reason he did everything.
Sure.
Everything in his life was geared towards that. How was he going to fail? It was like, it's like a kid who knows he wanted to be in the Olympics. Like, I need to train. I need to hone. I need to move to Los Angeles.
That is a sad little dream.
Whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes.
Commit. Do you ever go down to Mr. West's Star just to spruce it up a little bit?
Of course. I'm down there with the Brasso doing the polish. And
make sure it stays good. Yeah.
Scraping the gum off.
I like it.
And the tranny fluids down there on Hollywood Boulevard.
Transmission fluid. Yeah.
Because cars go up and down that boulevard.
Right. That's what he meant, obviously.
Yeah. While we're talking about classic TV shows, sad news. Double whammy. Sad news in TV land. Russell Johnson, best known as the Professor on Gilligan's Island, has passed away. Died yesterday of natural causes at his home in Washington. Did you know him, Bean? Did you know where he lived up there near you?
Bainbridge Island. He lives on the island one over from me, but I never ran into Russell. Always hoped that one day I would just run into him on the street. Never happened.
I think the Grim Reaper missed by one island.
By the way, unless he came into Bean's house, Bean's not going to run into him.
Run into him. Unless he had a weird fixation with the post office or the 7-Eleven. It's not going to run into you.
A lot of people thought it was always interesting that the man who became famous on television for being on Gilligan's Island ended up living the last several decades of his life on an actual island.
Ah!
irony.
I don't think a lot of people find that interesting.
He was 89 years old. And Dave Madden, who played Reuben Kincaid on the classic Partridge Family TV series, he was their manager on that show. He also passed away. He was 82 years old. Madden was also a regular on Laugh-In back in the day. Very funny show. And it, they say it was David Cassidy's third DUI. Just did him in. Just, I can't keep Keith under control anymore. Shirley! Just went over. Khloe Kardashian is lonely. Well, she can't find any of her own breed.
That's true.
Problem. According to Life and Style Weekly magazine, her sisters Kim and Courtney are both very busy with their kids. Yeah, that's what's keeping them busy. And her mom, Kris Jenner, is so critical of her that she doesn't want to spend any time with her. So she's all alone, all by herself.
Hmm.
Poor Khloe.
Well, there is that show where they're offering $10 million if anyone can find another Bigfoot, right?
So, yeah, she should go.
All hope is not lost.
Liam Hemsworth, he's not lonely. He, of course, famously broke up with his fiancée, Miley Cyrus. Friends say since he broke up with her, he is living a classy, quiet life. Oh, can you imagine the relief of not being attached to the hip to Miley Cyrus any longer? She's her tongue coming out, grinding her ass on people, smoking dope every chance she gets. Liam just celebrated his 24th birthday, and they said it was an amazingly classy event. 15 pals on the roof of the Hotel Chantel in New York City. Cocktails were served. Clicquot champagne was passed, and everyone had a very classy, quiet time, and no one had a foam finger, and no one put their ass in anybody's face, and
that doesn't sound fun.
Nobody twerked. Nobody went, stuck their tongue
I like sticking out my tongue a lot and stuff like that, and like dancing with teddy bears and stuff like that, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. None of that at that party. Chloe Grace Moretz, one of my favorite young actresses. She is headed to New York to do the big stage. First time on the stage in New York City. She's going to be at the Public Theater doing a new play called The Library, which will be directed by Steven Soderbergh. I don't know how much direction experience he has with the stage, but that sounds like a cool event. It's about a girl who survives a deadly high school shooting and tries to tell the parents and the police her version of what happened, and they don't believe her, apparently.
Sounds like a bummer.
Very exciting. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a laugh riot, but apparently it's a great play. So it's an original production. It'll start March 25th. If you happen to be in New York City, you want to check it out. It'll run through April the 27th. And Showtime just announced their new lineup. They're bringing Californication back for one final season. They also have a couple new shows that sound fascinating. Philip Seymour Hoffman will be starring in a new series for them.
He's great in everything.
He sure is. He's playing an advertising guy whose agency gets taken over, and he has to reinvent himself. And the other new show is called The Affair. It's about two married couples dealing with indiscretion. And Dominic West, Ruth Wilson, Maura Tierney, and Joshua Jackson will star in that. And in the Bad Idea File, Highway to Heaven, classic show from the 1980s starring Michael Landon as an angel who would go around helping people. That is going to be rebooted by Mark Wahlberg. Hollywood Reporter says the new series will be on A&E. And no word yet on who will be the angel who will be helping people. But I got my fingers crossed for Pauly Shore.
Oh,
that'd
good.
Be awesome.
Good.
Hey, buddy. Need some help? We still angels here.
Kill yourself watching that show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, before I get to that, tonight, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon at the Improv once again on Melrose in West Hollywood. Come on out and see us at 10 p.m. And go to improv.com for more details and for tickets, but it's a very entertaining show.
We have nine!
Hitler won't be there, but a lot of other fun people will. We're really hoping. We leave some comps for Hitler at the door every week. And
every week?
He never shows up.
Nope.com.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Betty White. She's 92 years old. Maury Povich, the talk show host, is 75. Steve Harvey is 57. Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals is 55. Jim Carrey turns 52. First Lady Michelle Obama is 50 years old today. Naveen Andrews, you know him from Lost. And now Once Upon a Time in Wonderland with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. My show.
I think that's right.
45 years old. Also 45 today is DJ Tiesto. Speaking of DJs, Calvin Harris turns 30 years old. Freddie Rodriguez from 6 Feet Under is 39 years old. Zooey Deschanel, the new girl, is 34. Ray J is 33. Muhammad Ali, 72. Josh Molina, one of our favorite actors from The West Wing and Scandal, is 48. James Earl Jones, legendary actor, still best known to some people as the voice of Darth Vader.
No!
He's 83 years old today. And Kid Rock, Kid Rock's 43.
My name is Kid.
He likes his name.
Instead of getting his own birthday cake, he borrowed one from Lynyrd Skynyrd, I heard today. Some people think that's funny. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend. On Tuesday morning, we're going to be back, and we're going to be back with an old friend, LaQuisha.
What?
We'll be on the program.
Love her.
Tuesday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
A big open manhole.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, what's up?
Roll another one.
This should not happen in America.
Just like the other one.
Missed something.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, wow.
I need another kid.
I spent all my money on blow. I spent all my money on everything. I don't even know where to go.
Classic
money. Roll, 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 roll another one.
Why do you talk that way?
Just like the other one.
What do you care?
This one seems to be about to end.
Baby, one more time.
I don't have another cent.
You can't make a connection with two screws. It takes a screw and a nut.
But don't bogart that joint.
Make love to my buttocks, Manny.
Just pass it around.
She blinded me with boogers.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Yeah, I think so.
That's great, Miguel. That was terrific.
If there was something I could do for you, I would. Maybe you should try taking a walk out of my office.
Enough of your jibber-jabber.
Well, that's a wrap. There you have it. The world... Well, that's a wrap. There you have it. The world carp... Oh, well. Better luck next time.
Anyway, it was a blast. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope to see you soon. And I'll be back next week. Everything will be back to normal. Anyway... Here's a little message you might enjoy.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.